I really enjoy reading or listening to prediction-based content, which is why I was really thrilled to have a leap year be this year so I could do an entire week of marketing predictions with you. However, one thing I will say after doing the interviews with the experts that I had and doing all of the research for this particular episode is that I think predictions are so hard. I don't know. Maybe I'm not a predictions person. Maybe my chemical makeup, my neurodiversity, my Enneagram 2-ness, I have no clue. But maybe the general makeup of Erin is just prohibitive in predicting the future. I can reflect back on the past like the best of them. I can analyze the present, but boy, do I have a mental block about future predictions. That being said, I worked really hard on this episode to come up with a well-rounded group of predictions in the marketing world for the next 4 years. I am going to spend some time this episode to talk about these things in relation to marketing. They are tech, privacy, SEO, copy, customer experience, and advertising. Those are the things we're covering here today. So that's it. Hey friends, welcome to the Talk Copy to Me podcast. Here we empower small business owners to step into the spotlight with their marketing and messaging. I'm your host, Erin Alilla. Let's get started and talk copy. We're going to just jump right in and start talking about tech, marketing tech in the next 4 years. The introduction of AI made it very obvious and very clear that we're going to have a few pivotal moments in the sense of what new tools can be built, how can we use artificial intelligence to better us in our jobs. Where do we have to be careful about the line of allowing artificial intelligence to influence things like our marketing decisions or our copy or content? So I think the easiest prediction is that AI is going to play a very significant role within the marketing industry over the next 4 years. I know I started with the most obvious of those options, but I purposely chose that to begin with because I think it will influence some of the other things that I'm sharing today. How will AI influence our marketing over the next 4 years? Some easy ways. One, and not the greatest way, is that people are going to be using AI tools to create copy and content for their businesses. It's going to go badly. Sorry, folks. It is going to go badly. You can use AI to create incredible outlines, to do some messaging work for you. Like, there's so many great and excellent use cases for using AI within the realm of marketing. But what's going to happen is businesses from small to large are going to cut corners by hiring, quote unquote, hiring an AI tool to write their copy and content for them. Because of that, we're going to then have SEO issues, right? We're going to have a lot of really stinky copy on the internet, and then there's going to be adjustments that have to be made on, you know, removing that content or adjusting that content, bringing a human touch to that content. However, one thing I think AI will drastically improve in the tech world is data literacy, and this is something I'm very excited about. Having an overwhelming amount of data can take a lot of time to sort through and to analyze, right? So when we have tools that can take massive amounts of data and sort and analyze and share insights about the data with us, it saves a ton of time. And I think that's a really big perk. So I think data analyzation is going to be the most exciting thing from my perspective. And the increase in data literacy when it comes to marketing specifically is going to be really exciting to see how it plays out over the next 4 years. Let's move slightly away from AI things though, because in the tech sphere, I'm really interested to see how privacy gets adjusted within the marketing world in the next 4 years. I was going to start by saying that I was very let down by the last 4 years of privacy in regard to marketing because it was very quiet. I had high expectations for privacy in regard to marketing in the year 2020. And I say that year specifically because there was actually a lot of action in the earlier 4 years. So 2016 through 2020, where a lot of laws were becoming in effect about privacy concerns. You know, GDPR, the California law, like there's been many changes, especially in those 4 years, 16 through 20, about privacy laws. But then it was quieter, let's say, between 2020 and 2024. It was something that was discussed. There was action starting to be taken, but it was a slower 4 years overall in regard to how we treat consumer privacy in the marketing world. That being said, I think this next 4 years is going to be like privacy on speed. There are going to be drastic changes, which I think you're starting to get aware of if you listen to yesterday's episode on email marketing. And if you come back again next week, where we have Cheryl Rarick here to talk about some of these new email regulations, you're probably aware that privacy is becoming a very important thing. And there's lots of little changes that have started taking effect in the past year or so. Between Google and Yahoo's email privacy regulations changing between December of last year and April of this year, that's one huge one. Other privacy things are cookies and different ways that of tracking that has really started to take effect in things like Apple and Google and how they track and monitor their customers, specifically also social media. I think if you were in marketing or at least, you know, paying attention to marketing for your own business over the last, let's say, 2 or 3 years, you'll know that a lot of people who were previously performing excellently on things like Facebook ads or Instagram ads, like, you know, paid advertising for their small businesses, started to really freak out because all of a sudden the great return on investment that they were getting from these ads just like tanked because of privacy related things. And I think the culmination of all of these behind the scene things that have happened over the last few years and things that are really rolling into effect now is going to snowball, and we're going to see a lot of privacy related changes over the next 4 years. Consumers are, they're tired of their data being shared. They're tired of being tracked. They're tired of spam, and regulations are starting to come into play to start to protect the consumer. So as the business or the marketer, we're going to have to start getting in line, paying very careful attention and following these regulations so that way we don't become the spam and we don't become the quote unquote bad guys because we're not doing the best business practices. But I know you listeners out there are following the best business practices, so it won't apply to you. This kind of is a great segue to go into my next topic, which is SEO. I think that voice and visual search improvements is, this is my last tech topic. There's going to be a lot of improvements to how consumers and the everyday people are searching using their voice or for visual search elements, like if you're not already doing a visual search, if you have the Google app on your phone, you can use the lens and take a picture of something and it will search the internet for related images that look like that picture. That's what I mean by visual search. So I think that those two key elements are something that has been under development for a while. I don't mean underdeveloped. I just mean they have been in developed. It would be helpful if I could actually talk correctly on a podcast. Let's try that again. They have been in development for quite a while right now. We've seen improvements here and there, but with the lens of Google's EEAT and helpful content updates of the previous year, as well as what we're seeing with the inflection of AI content, SEO is going to be the wild, wild west. And I think that one way that these big wig search companies can kind of maintain somewhat of control, or at least something they can keep a face of customer experience, is by improvements in voice and visual search. So if you're using tools like Siri in order to get information for your personal life or your business life, it will be a lot easier to get the correct information. And part of that is AI. Part of that is that, you know, these companies can train their voice search tools to give better answers. Now, I said I was going to segment this over to SEO, so we'll do that. All right, friends. I know I just said I'm bringing up SEO, but if there's one thing that I refuse to predict at this time, it is the future of SEO. And I seriously caution you that if in the immediate future anyone tells you that they know what to expect from search engine optimization over the next 4 years, that you run as fast as you can. We're in kind of an upheaval of search right now. And there are so many moving elements that are affecting what we can expect from search. So my prediction is that search engine optimization is going to be on a wild ride on these next 4 years. I think that we're going to kind of be treated like the social media giants treat the users with, like, algorithm changes. You know, it's like one day you're being told XYZ in regard to search engine optimization. And then the next day, there's an announcement that now you should prioritize ABC. Here's my advice for you. It's that I think that you should keep following current SEO best practices. And what I mean by current is all of the best practices over the last decade plus, so that way we can appease search engines who are then allowing us to be introduced to the searcher. I always liken Google or any type of main search engine, let's say, as the wingman. I've said it many times on this podcast, so I don't want to keep, like, repeating myself, but if you think of the role of the traditional wingman or wingwoman, they're the connector, right? Like, they're the person that's going to introduce two parties or, you know, multiple parties. And how can we make the wingman's job easier, right? If a wingman was responsible to introduce two people that they did not know at all, it would be significantly harder for them to make that connection. Now, if we can appease Google, if we can make it easier for Google to take our content and share it with the people who are looking for the answers we're providing, who are looking for the educational content, the inspirational content, the entertainment that we have created for them, if we can make it easy for Google to share it, they're going to share it. So if you follow the best practices, you make the wingman's job easier, you're going to have a lot better of a chance to survive the future of SEO. I think instead of being scared about it, now is the time to create the excellent content. I'm going to say that one more time. Now is the time to create excellent content. Because in the future, if they're providing answers and they're looking for good content, they're going to look backward. They're not going to say, oh, I know Erin talks about these things on her website. Maybe I should go ask her what she thinks about that for the future. No, they don't care about predictions, right? And they don't care about things that we haven't written. So if you're creating written content, case studies, blog posts, anything that's long form content, get that in now and make sure your SEO is on point now. It will serve you in the long run. I'm already moving on an SEO high horse here, so we're going to take a break for 1 second because I would like to say thank you to some of the people who have left recent reviews on the podcast. One of those people are Todd Gates, who says, this is the proverbial needle in a haystack. Wow. As a new small business owner, there is so much to learn and so many offerings to sort through. I came to Erin by total chance, listened to the latest episode, and immediately went back to episode one and binged 4 episodes on my drive. Erin's podcast is feeding me clear, actionable information in such a professional, engaging manner. I'm in. Thanks, Erin. Thank you so much, Todd, for leaving that review. Another person who left a review is user LHJ2, who says, Talk Copy to Me is one of my absolute faves for copy and SEO insights. While a lot of podcasts start strong and juicy and fade over time, Erin has managed to continue to develop really helpful topics and deliver extremely actionable advice, 100% worth my time and yours. Thank you so much. And then the most recent review that we have is from The Distracted One, who says, "I'm new to copywriting and getting back into web design from 2001. So I'm really happy that I found Erin's podcast. I really appreciate how she expounds on what she's teaching because I'm one of those students that need to know why we should do something along with the how. And I appreciate the confidence in her voice that is contagious. I need all the confidence I can get." Well, thank you, everyone. Those are the reviews for this episode. As always, I would love it if you had the time to leave a review for the podcast. And you can do that in Apple Podcasts, or you can always leave a rating in Spotify Podcast. But I've kept you here for far too long, so we're going to power through some of my other marketing predictions for the next 4 years. I think there's going to be some changes within the copy and content world of marketing. And I think a lot of those changes are going to come from user-generated content. If you're not familiar with what user-generated content is, it's basically exactly what it sounds like. It's content that was created by the end user. So think of it like someone purchases a product and then they go on TikTok to leave a review about the product they're using. It's also if someone films a testimonial or a review for a service provider that they're working with, and that service provider uses the video on their website. The reason why it's so helpful is obvious general social proof. We all are more confident in our purchasing decisions when we see that other people that are like us are pleased with the decision that they've made. So it specifically works well for social proof. But user-generated content does not have to be social proof, especially in the lens of marketing. A really good example of that is something that was actually like all the buzz of the internet in the past week or so. I'm totally apologizing because I haven't watched it if I say this person's name incorrectly, but Risa Tease's Who the F Did I Marry, which is the TikTok video series, is an excellent example of user-generated content. It is storytelling, right? So what they're doing is they're using a social media tool to tell a story. And I chose that person as an example because there's two things that I think are really going to take form in the next 4 years when it comes to creating content in the marketing world. There's two specific ways that will stand out: micro moment content and, this is going to sound wild when you hear it, so I'll repeat it twice, long form short storytelling. I know that makes no sense, right? So there's micro moments and long form short storytelling. We actually did an episode about social media in early 2023 with Helen Polisi, and she came on to talk about how she thinks that social media storytelling will be something that's really going to start to become more regular on social media. I'll link to the episode so you can go check out our conversation. But I think she's really onto something, and I think we're going to see this a lot more frequently in the next 4 years. It is short pieces of a story that build up in a long collection. Again, I haven't watched the TikTok series, but if I'm understanding this correctly, I think there were like 52 different stories that were each approximately 10 minutes. So to be able to consume the entire story, you had to watch all 52 episodes in 10-minute clips. So you can see how that is what I mean by long-form storytelling. It's built over time, just like true storytelling is done. If you liken it to the chapters of a book, that's what she's doing with the content she's created. However, it is in short burst. Now, because this is like the new viral hit, everyone has kind of went in and binged the content like we do for Netflix series. So I really feel like we're going to see a lot more of this user-generated content in the next 4 years. And what I mean by micro moments are immensely tiny pieces of content. opposite of the long form storytelling, but content that was created with a very specific goal in mind. So kind of run the same way that the long form short storytelling is, except that instead of the longer amount of content that's getting shared, it's a collection of mini bursts of content. The other thing I want you to consider when it comes to changes over the next 4 years, or my prediction, is that we're going to have a lot more omni-channel storytelling. So that would mean, as an example, you consume content on one channel, and then you're going to another channel to get a different piece of the content, and another channel to get a different piece, to kind of tell an overall story. It very well could get more technical, where you're doing things like app-related content and social media related content. But I think omni-channel storytelling is going to be a big hit with the big brands. Just this week for Chipotle, I think it is, they have a campaign going that if you find their codes within the content that they're sharing on social media, you can text the code to them to find out if you've won, I think it is, guacamole for an entire year, which is thrilling. I love me some Chipotle guacamole. The user's job is to consume content on social media, but then take the bit of information that they have and use SMS, text messaging, to communicate with the brand to like enter a contest. So use that example as what omnichannel storytelling is. And I think we're going to really see a lot of really massive brands put that into the play in the near future. Tidying up this copy and content section, one thing that is way overdue, but is really, I think, starting to get the attention that it so much deserves, is accessibility and inclusivity. I have an excellent episode with Erin Perkins where we talk about accessibility and inclusivity. I will put that in the show notes so you can listen to it. But if you haven't paid attention to your own website's accessibility, to your inclusivity, and I'm going to put one more episode because we had a conversation with Don B. Shin about global inclusivity in that same mini series, and it was such a great conversation. So I think that that's another layer of inclusivity that gets forgotten about, especially when the two words, accessibility and inclusivity, are so close to each other. It's easy to think that they're like one category when they're not necessarily the same category. So if you haven't paid attention to those things within your business, specifically within your marketing, prioritize that immediately, because just like we're seeing some privacy laws come into effect, I think that with all of the changes to SEO, to AI tools, to everything, these quote-unquote bigwigs like Google and Microsoft are going to care a ton about marketing and how it's presented to the end user. Specifically websites here. Like if your website is not accessible, they're not going to prioritize that for search. If anything, you might have penalties for a non-accessible website. So take the time now to do the work if you haven't done it yet, and pay attention to what you're reading within like the marketing landscape about changes to accessibility and inclusivity, because I think that it's going to be prioritized in the near future, and it should have been prioritized already. Almost done, I promise. In regard to customer experience, I think that consumer convenience is going to be one of their highest levels of priority when it comes to marketing and like true implementation. If you're not exactly sure what I mean by consumer convenience, I want you to look closely as to how shopping has changed so drastically since the last leap year. If you remember, prior to the pandemic, buying online and picking up your groceries, your other shopping things, was much less practiced. In fact, I think some of the major grocery stores had just really started true delivery drop-offs for groceries. And that was not through Instacart or anything like that. That was through the grocery store. So they would have like team shoppers who would pick the items and drop them off at customers' houses. And that was still pretty rare prior to the pandemic. And let's say Target, for example, and I know this for a fact because I was a mom with young kids before the pandemic. And I remember just being so frustrated or anxious or nervous about having to, get some shopping done or like needing something very important, like wanting to test out different baby bottles, let's say, when my babies were having difficulty drinking out of a bottle. And I could use the Target app to purchase the items, but the best I was going to get, which again, pre-pandemic, this was a huge improvement to shopping, but the best I was going to get was that I had to physically go into the store to pick the items up, which can be difficult if you have like babies and sleep schedules or you have one car or all these things. Back to the point, I'm getting a little off the point here. The last 4 years, we've had a pivotal change to shopping in the convenience factor. The pandemic really forced BOPIS, which is buy online, pick up in store or out of store, which is what really truly happened because of the pandemic. You can drive up to Target now and someone brings your order out to you. That is the same for many other big brand stores. And buy online, pick up in store is not just a convenience thing for big brands. It is an expectation that consumers have. So I really think that there's going to be a customer experience prioritization here by big brands. I think this could be a problem, though, and I think the problem specifically is an issue for the tiny businesses. We all saw what happened when Amazon initiated their two-day shipping. It literally shut down small businesses, even though it was like a domino effect, right? If you cannot keep up with shipping demands, customers are not going to go to you. They're going to go to the big brands. I think that customers are going to get such a level of like eggshell walking, handholding from brands who are willing to like bend over backward in order to make things easier for consumers, that little by little, changes will be put into effect and smaller businesses will not be able to keep up with it. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more digital prioritization. And while I don't have a very precise prediction with what I'm sharing right now, what I will say is I would love for you to pay very close attention to the customer experience changes that happen over the next 4 years for really big brands, because I do think shortly after changes happen for the big brands, we will start to see how that affects smaller businesses. And finally, yes, finally, we have reached the end. There is one more thing left. That's advertising. And I got to tell you, I am really, really interested in what's going to happen with the advertising world in the next 4 years. I think there has to be, if it hasn't actually come to this yet, there has to be a come to Jesus moment when it comes to paid advertising. Just in the last week, I've seen dozens of complaints about how TikTok and Instagram are being completely overrun by ads, but the ads have been prioritized. So I don't know if this is something we see this year or even next year, but I just don't think the advertising trend can sustain itself, especially on social media, maybe I should say that. I don't think social media advertising can sustain itself in its current format for much longer. I think there's always been this buildup of frustration with being sold to once Facebook started to actually implement ads on its platform, and then other Meta companies and other social media platforms followed suit. So it's not like everyone's just been excited about ads, but I think we're kind of hitting the point where consumers are overly frustrated and they will leave platforms where the ads are just so present and overwhelming. Like I said, I don't think it's going to happen in this super immediate future because shopping through ads on social media is a somewhat newer thing. Talk about convenience marketing here, right? If you go on Instagram, just before this, I was watching Jordan the Stallion, and he had a clip of someone holding an individual like coffee cup, like travel coffee cup, where it stirs the coffee for you. And he was like, I found it. One, I would purchase this coffee cup in an instant. But the point is, if you see this on social and you can purchase it immediately from that creator, that I said that really funny, from the creator who is sharing the content, it's exciting, right? So we're at the point where we're enjoying the shopping of social media advertising. But like I said, it's really coming to a point where consumers are starting to get frustrated. So once the fun of the social shopping starts to go away, we're going to kind of get that pivotal moment, I think. So maybe in 2 years, maybe close to the next leap year, we'll really start to see some pretty massive advertising changes. So if there's a takeaway from this part, I would say if you're investing a lot of money in advertising, maybe go hard right now. My advertising days are far in my past, so I don't want to actually give you any advice. But if it's working well for you, I'd say enjoy it, but also employ longer-term marketing strategies so that way they will be working if and when the advertising budget that you have or the advertising activities that you're doing are no longer working. So that's it. Like I said, this was really hard for me. I am not the best predictions person. I'm excited to find out if I'm right or wrong. And I would love to hear what you have to say. I mean, you can find me on Threads most often, Instagram, LinkedIn, but I'd love for you to connect to see like what you took from this episode, what you agree with from this episode, and if there's anything we missed. I hope you will join me back next week where Cheryl Rarick will be with us to explain what the heck is happening within the email marketing world with their new privacy regulations and how that really affects you as a small business owner. If you email anyone for your business, please tune in next week because you really need to hear and learn about these changes because they do affect you. All right, friends, I will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Talk Copy to Me. If you enjoyed spending your time with me today, I would be so honored if you could subscribe to the show and leave a review. Want to continue the conversation? Head on over to Instagram and follow me at Erin Olilla. Until next time, friends.